Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above downtown Chicago, and it is Thursday, Triple Play Thursday.
Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday!
That means get your requests in. It's one artist, three songs, get that in. Get those in now. We'll play them later, 312-981-7200. Later on, we're going to be talking about reality shows and going back to the history of reality shows, the best reality shows, the worst. We're coming to the end of yet another Big Brother, and some crazy stuff happened on the show last night. So that's what got me to thinking, hey, let's talk a little bit about the history of reality, best reality shows, worst reality shows, the ones that you love, the ones that you loved in the past or hated. 312-981-7200. That's coming up later on. Also coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk with Gail Rubin, who is the author of a book called A Good Goodbye, Funeral Planning for Those Who Don't Plan to Die. She's going to be hosting a free seminar at the Olson Burke Sullivan Funeral Home on Northwest Highway on Thursday the 27th. A 10 a.m. session and a 3 p.m. session, and it's all about it's kicking the bucket list, downsizing and organizing, which focuses on end-of-life issues. A lot of people don't like to talk about end-of-life issues, and it's understandable, but Gail is of the opinion that you should talk about it and do something about it, and she does it in a very entertaining and upbeat way. And we're going to talk with her a little bit later on. She's the author of a book, A Good Goodbye, Funeral Planning for Those Who Don't Plan to Die. So that's Gail Rubin. She's coming up after the 2 o'clock news. And then coming up in just a few minutes in studio, we're going to have two members from the band Man Fighting Bear live in studio here. We've had them on the show before, and they're going to be performing as part of a benefit concert called Law Rock Chicago. It features legal professionals rocking out to support local nonprofits. It's a very interesting story, and these guys are a really terrific band, and they're comprised of a father and son team and the son's best friend. We'll talk to the father, who'll be on the phone. He's in Virginia. His name is Bill Beach. Chris Beach is his son, and he's also in the band. And Eric Fagrelius, who is a bassist and vocalist in the band, are going to join us live in studio. They've been on the show a couple of times before. They got a new EP out that we're going to play some songs from. We'll play a couple of full songs. So we'll hear some new music from Man Fighting Bear, talk to them about their band, and about this really cool event that's happening at Lincoln Hall on Thursday the 27th. So that's what's coming up on the show. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk or text. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show, which is a great way to follow us, or also on Facebook at facebook.com/Nick D Show. So let me say hello to my great producer, Dan Shagru. Hello, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
How are you?
All right, man. How about yourself?
All right. A little upset about the Cubs.
Sure.
I mean, they got blown out, but you can't win every day. Hey, they got a day off today. How's that? How did that happen?
Lucky guys.
Day off today, leading into the Red Line series.
Yeah.
This weekend. That should be pretty fun.
Yeah.
So we'll get to hear the Cubs on this radio station again.
Yes, that's true.
So you all right then, huh?
Good. I'm good. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Crazy stuff went down on Big Brother. And we're leading up. There's only three episodes left. Tonight is another. They evicted somebody last night. Surprised. They surprised the house guests and booted somebody.
Wow.
And then tonight there's another eviction. And then Sunday and then Wednesday. And that's it. We crown a winner. $500,000. Now, you know that they win $500,000.
That is a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. But you have to stay in that house for over 3 months. You know, backstabbing people and lying to them.
That is
Yeah.
Interesting way to make a list.
It certainly is. Certainly is. But anyway, some goofy stuff happened on the show, and that got me to thinking about like reality shows in general, and you know, the popularity of them, and maybe the history of them, and the best and the worst. And we'll talk reality shows. A lot to talk about there. And there's like a reality show on every 5 seconds now because of streaming, and everybody's got at least, you know, like Netflix has like 25 reality shows alone. So anyway, we'll get into that a little bit later on. And then in the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Vic, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. How you doing, Nick?
You good in there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good.
Yes, so you're okay in there?
Yeah, we're working out a few things, but yeah, we're pretty good.
All right. Well, Vic is covering the news, and we've got I guess there's some technical stuff going on in there that they're
working on. A few technical issues, but we're okay.
Okay, so Vic's in there. He's covering the news. We'll get things all fixed and figured out in the newsroom where there's some technical stuff going on. So there you go. All right. Well, that's what's happening on the show this morning, and we would love to hear from you again. Talk and text at 312-981-7200. Triple Play Thursday. That's one artist, three songs. Get your requests in now. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have a couple of members from the band Man Fighting Bear in studio, and then the other member on the phone. And we'll talk about their upcoming event and their new EP, and we'll hear some new music from the band as well. So stick around for all of that, and that'll be coming up right after this break. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and my guests, Eric and Chris from the band, were waiting in the PPG Paints Green Room, the beautiful, beautiful PPG Paints Green Room. And they're from the band Man Fighting Bear, and they've got a benefit concert coming up called Law Rocks Chicago, which is at the beautiful Lincoln Hall next Thursday. And we have a link on our Facebook page with all the information. And in studio, we have Chris Beach. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having us.
And Eric Fagrelius, who is the bassist and vocalist. How you doing?
Good
to see you guys again. And, of course, the other member of the band is Bill Beach, who is your dad, Chris.
That's what I hear.
And he is in Virginia at the moment.
He is.
And we have him on the phone, so let's welcome him to the show as well. Bill, welcome
to the show.
Good
morning, everyone.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks very much.
Cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about, because for people who, haven't heard you guys, you've been on the show a couple of times.
Yes.
And Bill, why don't you tell us how this whole thing started and how you started playing music with your son?
Well, the whole thing with the band really started when we were moving from Chicago to Virginia. I guess, guys, help me out. It was about 8 years ago now. 7 or 8 years ago, and we did like a farewell show. We kind of jokingly called it a living wake. We invited everyone we knew to come to a restaurant in Hyde Park, and Chris, Eric, and I became the nucleus of the band, and we invited a lot of musician friends, and we played for several hours, raised some money for a couple of charities, and we realized that we actually had a pretty good sound, and we liked what we were doing, but I was moving literally the next day. So we stayed in touch. I'd come back to Chicago to do some work, and we got together and we really took it a little more seriously than we had at first, and we did some recording and just kind of fell in love with each other and fell in love with what we were doing, and that's really how it started.
Yeah.
I've been playing music with Chris. I think Chris, your first drum set we bought, he was a kid. I mean, he was like 5 or 6 years old. I mean, he had his first drum set, and he and I would sit and jam, and I would always tell him different stories of what it was like when I was in school, growing up playing in bands, and how my dad was a big influence in my life musically, and I tried to do the same thing with Chris.
Wow, and it turned out good.
So far.
Chris, so you were you always interested in drums?
Yeah, because my dad made me play drums. He said, you have to be the drummer. Absolutely. You had to go, pick out your instrument when you went to junior high. And, everyone's going around trying everything. I just walked over to the drums, and the teacher said, try this. Did a pattern. Try this. Did a pattern. And he looked at my parents and went, okay.
That was it.
Pretty simple. Yeah.
Bill, when did you start playing music?
My first band was, I was in seventh grade. Mm-hmm. But I started playing piano probably when I was 6 or 7 years old. My father was a real good piano player, and I always wanted to, just to kind of emulate that. It was, And for me, it was interesting. And I'm not going to go into a whole lot because we don't have time, but it was my dad and I had a complicated relationship. But when he played piano, I would sit there and I would be spellbound. I would just love it. And it just was kind of a dream for me. So I was real little when I started playing piano, but the first band was in seventh grade.
Mm. And was that here in Chicago?
Yes, it was. I grew up in a city, and I was in grade school at a place called St. Joe's in Homewood, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And we had just moved into Homewood, and all the cliques had been formed. So I put a band together with a bunch of guys, and I think we've mentioned this before on the show. It was a very irreverently named band. It was called Pontius and the Nail Drivers.
Yep.
and we got in a fair amount of trouble.
With
the Dominican nuns.
Yeah.
But for me, it was a great way to entertain as well as to, I was not really athletically inclined. I did some sports, but I was not big enough to play competitively in high school. So this was great for me.
Yeah. And now, Eric, when did you come into the mix here?
Well, as far as playing music, I started on piano I was about six. Went to trumpet, tried a bunch of different instruments. It wasn't until I was 14 and my Uncle Dwight, who was, the cool uncle.
Right.
He pulls out a bass. He pulls out this old Gibson, 1960s Gibson original bass, mm-hmm. and he puts on a B.B. King record.
Oh, well, there you go.
Puts on Thrill Is Gone.
Oh, man, yeah.
And just that groove, mm-hmm. and I felt it. I felt it in the physical meaning and then actual spiritual meaning.
Yeah, no, I can see that, man.
And so from there, that bass just, that was my thing, mm-hmm. and just been playing it since. And then choir. An interesting thing, kind of similar to what Bill's talking about with the feeling with the family. I was in junior high, and I remember going in, and someone pulled me into choir, and I'm singing amongst all these other people, and it just felt so great being surrounded by all these voices, and it's like safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that started really my love for singing. So, and I've finally figured out how to do both at the same time.
Right.
Later on, and that's when playing with Bill and Chris, and we didn't have a singer. I was playing bass, and said, "Okay, well, let's do this."
Yeah. So, how long have you guys known each other? You and
Wow.
Did you go to school together?
No, we've known each other.
Actually, you met my dad.
Yeah,
first.
I met Bill first because Bill was my boss.
Oh, right. I remember.
At John Marshall Law School,
mm-hmm.
when he was a dean. And I worked.
See, I thought Eric was my son at first, and then I found out on your show that Chris was my son.
No, I'm the mature one. I think that's what we established.
Now you mentioned law and the John Marshall Law in mm-hmm. particular. This benefit that you guys are playing next mm-hmm. Thursday is called Law Rock Chicago,
yeah.
and it's at the Lincoln Hall, which is one of the best rooms in the city,
mm-hmm.
Acoustically, everything. They got that place right. Tell me a little bit about how the law thing came into being.
So this is a concert that is all over the globe, actually, and this is the inaugural Chicago concert. So
oh,
I think
that's
nice. They've done San Francisco, London, New York,
Singapore, Sydney, Hong Kong,
yeah.
Dubai.
So everybody involved in the concert works for has something
it's
to do
a
with
legal
the
it's a lot of attorneys.
Yeah,
there's us,
but it's anybody that's part of the legal profession,
mm-hmm.
And you have to have at least one member of your group that is part of the legal profession. Of course, mm-hmm. Chris and I both work at John Marshall,
mm-hmm.
and then Bill, being a former dean, so that's how we got in.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to say that it's the inaugural Chicago concert, and none of the bands in this concert have law-related pun names.
Right.
No one is called the defendants or anything like
right,
that. So
right.
I think that's a true testament to this city.
I've heard the story before, but you're speaking of band names. We have to find out the origin of the name of your band, which is Man Fighting Bear. So.
Right.
It's this guy.
Why?
Go ahead, Chris.
I thought it sounded funny. That's it.
That's it.
That's the story.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, we could. Is there a deeper meaning,
Bill? Bill, do you want to give your
Is there a metaphor in there somewhere that the man and society is the bear. I don't know. It's just, it was so silly.
Right. Well, you guys just, it's one of those deals where I've had a lot of musicians and bands on the show. And whenever I ask about, the origin of the name of the band, it's always like, we got tired of it. We were just like, let's just say this.
Yeah.
And because it's trying to name a band is usually very tedious and it takes forever. And finally you have to just settle on something. It's usually, that's kind of the majority of the bands that come in here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if we thought about it,
and this is a pretty cool band, actually. Yeah. The band This.
Yeah.
Eric and I were in a band called We Should Be Spies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we said to people, what's the name of your band? We Should Be Spies. Just.
And then they would say, I'm sorry, what?
Exactly. Yeah. Didn't last.
So, Bill, do you live in Virginia full time? Yes?
I do. I live in, and I have to tell you, it's really different being out here, especially in hurricane time. You know, we live about 200 miles from North Carolina.
Yeah.
We're on the east coast of Virginia, and this last Hurricane Florence scared everyone because we thought it was coming right to us. As a matter of fact, the area that we live in is divided into four zones, and Zone A through D, and we're in Zone C, but Zone A, which is literally two blocks from our house, was evacuated.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm surprised that we didn't get a call from, like, Walmart and BJ's thanking us for buying so many non-perishable goods.
Yeah.
It's just really frightening. And my heart goes out to the poor folks that had so much devastation. But I live out here full time. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a break because we got a break here for the news, you guys. And then we are going to hear a song from the new EP, which is called Three Songs. And we will hear a song from your last CD called Waiting. Bill, hang on, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, there is Bill is with us. Chris and Eric are in studio from the band Man Fighting Bear. The benefit concert, which we'll talk more about, is called Law Rock Chicago, and it takes place Thursday, September 27th at Lincoln Hall. We have a link on our Facebook page for more information. Guys, hang out for a second. We're going to break here for the news and then more and some new music right after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18 stories above downtown Chicago. We're here until 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6, and I'll be hanging out with Steve Cochran this morning. It's Thursday, so it's 6:20. We'll talk about some new movies and some other entertainment stuff. That's all coming up right here on WGN, so stick around for that. Also coming up after the 2 o'clock news, Gail Rubin is going to join us. She's the author of A Good Goodbye, Funeral Planning for Those Who Don't Plan to Die. And she's hosting a free seminar called Kicking the Bucket List, Downsizing and Organizing, which is going to focus on end-of-life issues, which she takes an upbeat approach to. In order to get, you know, to get some things done that you have to confront, and it'll be at Olson Burke Sullivan Funeral Home, which is on Northwest Highway here in Chicago. We'll talk to her after the 2 o'clock news. But right now, that music that you heard is from a band called Man Fighting Bear, The band members are here. Two live in studio is Chris Beach and Eric Fagrelius. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
And on the phone is also the other member of the band, also happens to be Chris's father, and that's Bill Beach. Bill, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay. Chris, let's talk a little bit about you guys, a little bit about the writing process.
Sure.
And how that works for you guys.
Well, Eric is an evil dictator,
okay.
And he comes to us and says, play this or else. No, he usually starts out with kind of a musical sketch that he or I will come together and we'll start mumbling words to it. And then Eric will go away and write some actual lyrics to it. And then when my dad gets into town, we present the sketches to him and he picks out which ones he likes. And he plays along and just kind of organically transfers into a song. And then Eric has actually set up our rehearsal studio into a recording studio now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually how we made this last EP. Right? We did it ourselves. So we just kind of record our demos as we go, listen to them. Bill takes them home, practices them, comes back, we finalize them, that's it.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Is it, what's the build, the rehearsal process and stuff like that, being in Virginia, you guys talked about this the last time you were on, how does that work out?
Well, there's a product, and it's called Jamlinks, and it allows us to practice over the internet. But it's obviously not as good as it is being together, and sometimes we wish we could just, you know, all quit our jobs and just spend hours and hours in a studio at working and creating things. So I'll get into Chicago once a month, and we'll kind of lock ourselves away for a day and a half in our studio and work through stuff, whether we're writing stuff, whether we're rewriting stuff, or whether we're having pizza and beer. It's just kind of a creative process. So it's not as good as it could be, but it's the path that we've had to take.
Okay. Talk a little bit more, you guys, about this Law Rock Chicago. You were telling me some fascinating stuff off the air about it. And it started, you said, how long ago did this start? It's the first one in Chicago, obviously.
It's the first one in Chicago. It all started back in 2009 in London. And there was a gentleman, Nick Child, who was looking for a way to connect the legal industry with nonprofit and fundraise. Since then, fast forward now, and we're at, what, almost 20 Law Rocks in, I think, 7 different countries. And this year, it's the inaugural one here in Chicago at Lincoln Hall next Thursday.
And you guys are very excited about it.
Oh,
Tell me about the organization that's going to benefit from you guys.
So we've chosen the John Marshall Law School's community legal clinics. Not a lot of people know that our clinics at John Marshall, they provide about $9 million a year in free or pro bono, as it's known, services to the greater Chicago community. And those range anything from veterans issues through domestic violence, fair housing, human rights, patent, trademark. They just run a gamut of all these different types of areas of law that we help. And it's driven by the students. The students are the ones that really do the work, and it's a win-win because they get the experiential credit. They get that time that they're actually working on cases under the supervision of the staff, the faculty, okay, of the law school. And then the community. I mean, we serve a lot of low and moderate income folks, and it's a way that they can get some services because legal work is not cheap.
No.
And so, you know, $9 million in free legal services a year, that's probably... it's probably a bit on the low end, to be quite honest. But so what we're doing is we're raising funds, and we got a lead donation from our own alumni association, and they generously donated $2,500 to start a scholarship. And the scholarship is going to go to a student who really stands out and has really done some outstanding work as part of their clinical work at the law school. So... and we're hoping to build that up. So we've got a website. We got a donation page we'd love to plug.
Go ahead, please. Please
sure.
Do.
It's law, so basically, just go visit the lawrocks.org website and make sure you go to the Chicago page. And under the Chicago page, and Chris, you helped me with this. This is the it's the donation tab. And 100% of the donation goes to the community legal clinics, to the scholarship, to help a student who will then be able to provide these free legal services to the greater Chicago community.
That's great. So it's lawrocks.org.
That's correct.
Okay. And go to the Chicago section and donate. Donate if you can. And how many bands will be playing at next Thursday?
There will be 4 official bands competing because it's a battle of the band style. Well, 25% of the vote is how much money you raise out of donations. 25 is a panel of judges. 25 is the audience ballot. And the other 25 is sponsorship. So there's 4 bands competing. And then after those bands are done, it's a 25-minute set each. There's another band playing as a special guest. I think they're called Along the Drive, well-known like local Chicago band. They're going to play for about an hour, and then the winners will be announced.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So audience participation is part of it, right?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. So, part of it. Yeah.
25% of audience.
If people show up, we will thank them. We will hug them. If they don't like our band, just pretend to for the evening.
Just for a good cause.
Please,
that's right. For a good cause.
I'll give them a sad face.
Who are the judges?
There are three
so far.
And they are Rick Ventinson, Chicagoland. He's part of a group called Athanor.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is Sir Vivian Ramsey.
I think he's a barrister, and he is on the Law Rocks board.
And then Dahlia Saper.
So those are the judges.
Those
so far.
Are the three judges.
Three judges. Yeah. Right.
Okay, great. Okay, cool. Well, listen, we're going to play a song from your from the last album that you guys came in for, and it's Waiting. And this is a song called "Breathe." Anybody want to set this up?
Sure. My dad and I, Bill, as he's referred to in the band, we saw the band Elbow in concert, and we were very inspired. We came back to our studio, and I think he literally said, like, I don't know, let's just breathe and, like, try something simple, and this is what came out.
Okay. And, by the way, this song will be played next Thursday.
That's right.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
All right, well, let's hear it. This is Breathe by Man Fighting Bear.
Instinct take over.
There you go. That's Breathe by Man Fighting Bear. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with the band and then hear another song, a new song off of their new EP. And again, you can hear these songs live at the Law Rocks Chicago, featuring legal profession rocking out to help local nonprofits. It's all at the Lincoln Hall in Chicago next Thursday night, the 27th. And we'll talk more with Chris, Eric, and Bill, and then hear another song, a new one, right after we take a break here on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. That music is from Man Fighting Bear, and we've got Chris and Eric live in studio, and Bill on the phone, who's in Virginia. And they'll all three be at Law Rock Chicago a week from tonight at Lincoln Hall. Bill, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay,
Thank you. One last.
You guys know that I ask two questions of all musicians when they come in. Let's start with Bill. Bill, what was the first album you ever bought?
The first album that I ever bought was by a band called Aorta.
Ah, yes.
A Chicago-based band. I think it was like 1968 or 69.
Okay, all right.
I bought it, yeah.
Okay, Chris, first album.
Well, Nick, as you know, as a white male in his 30s with glasses, it was Weezer, the Blue Album.
Of course. Yeah. And, Eric?
Van Halen, 1984.
1984. Okay. All right. Bill, first concert.
First concert, 1969, at Aaron Russo's Kinetic Playground. Oh. Santana and Lighthouse opened for Led Zeppelin.
See, you kill me, man.
Yeah, we shouldn't even answer.
First American tour.
I got to see Zeppelin twice, though. I was very lucky. I saw them in 75 and 77. They were great in 75, and they sucked in 77.
Really?
Because they were loaded. They were all loaded.
Oh, okay.
Terrible. Okay, Chris, first concert.
Well, I'll refer to my first answer, and it was a Weezer concert.
And Eric?
Metallica at Poplar Creek, where the Cult got booed off of stage.
Ah, yes. Good old Poplar Creek.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're going to hear a song off of the new EP really quickly. If you guys want to play the song, what do you want to say about the song? It's called Rails.
So Rails when we write music, we write about we write the music first, and then we write the lyrics. And it's typically a vision. Some kind of a story comes up. And it's really about the moment, as Chris would like to say, Catholic guilt.
Right. Midwestern Catholic guilt.
It's the moment when you're trying to apologize to someone, or you're thinking about what you're going to say. How are you going to say it as an apology? And that's what this is about.
Okay. All right. Well, here it is.
sorry for the things that I did. Even straight rails, they'll curve off someplace. I'm so sorry.
There's still about a minute left on that, but we have run out of time, and I want to make sure we say a proper goodbye to the guys. And that EP will be on sale at the gig.
On sale, we'll just hand them out to you if you promise to vote for us.
Okay, if you promise to vote for you. Bill, it was a pleasure talking to you again, Bill.
Good talking with you. Thank you very much.
All right, and Chris, Eric, thank you guys very much. And if you guys want to donate, you can't make it next Thursday, go to lawrocks.org, find Chicago, and give away.
Yes.
All right, guys, good to see you again. Thanks
thank
for coming.
Thank you,
Nick. All right, the news is up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on Thursday morning, Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in now. One artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. You know, it's never easy for a lot of people to talk about end-of-life issues, you know, and planning for your death and funerals and things like that. But one of the people that feels that we should talk about it more because it's important to do so is my next guest, who is Gail Rubin. She is the author of A Good Goodbye, Funeral Planning for Those Who Don't Plan to Die. And then on Thursday, September 27th, she's going to be hosting a free seminar called Kicking the Bucket List, Downsizing and Organizing, which focuses on end-of-life issues. And it takes place at the Olson Burke Sullivan Funeral Home on Northwest Highway here in Chicago. There's going to be two sessions, one at 10 and one at 3. And we have a link on our Facebook page for more information. And she is a thanatologist, which was something that I didn't know existed until I read about it. And we're going to talk about these kind of issues and get some advice from her. And her name is Gail Rubin. And we welcome Gail to the show. Gail, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick. Great to be with you.
How are you?
I am vertical and functional, especially at this time of the night.
It is a little late. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. How did you get into this work? You've worked in the funeral business for many years. You've written about it. Was this a fascination of yours when you were younger?
Well, it was and it wasn't. It's interesting. I realize now that I've been a certified thanatologist for about 6-7 years now, that early on when I was like in junior high school, I would do these little doodles of Grim Reaper, you know, the little robe pointy trailing robe.
Right.
And but I'm not morose. I'm not a goth. I'm not dark. I'm actually very upbeat. And when I was in college, I majored in television and film. Mm. And in one of my film production classes, all of the students had to do a film that was a 3-minute black and white Super 8, I'm kind of dating myself here, movie that had to be titled The Bubblegum Film. So it had to have something to do with bubblegum. Most of my classmates did movies that had something to do with car chases and tangentially something about bubblegum at the end. I did a satire of the opening of Ingmar Bergman's classic film, The Seventh Seal.
Okay.
Where death comes for a medieval knight on a beach at dawn. And the knight challenges death to a game of chess. And in the bubblegum film, the knight challenges death to a game of chess, and death says he never learned how to play the game. So thinking quickly, he pulls out a piece of bazooka, bubblegum, which they don't make anymore either, and said, "Do you like bubblegum?" And yes, he loves bubblegum. They'll agree to abide by the fortunes and the wrappers, and in the end, death gets his man, all in 3 minutes. And looking back on that, I realize, oh my God, I'm doing what I am meant to do, making fun of death using humor and funny films to get people to talk about something that's going to happen to all of us and to plan ahead, because less than 30% of adults do any end-of-life planning. And that means 70% or more of our loved ones are going to be trying to find information and make expensive decisions under duress of grief, and it doesn't have to be that way. So at this event on the 27th. We're going to laugh and learn. I do have some film clips as part of my talk from actually TV shows, Mike and Molly and 6 Feet Under. Mm-hmm. And but I do have a two-minute introductory film clip collection that gets us in the mood about this whole idea of talking about death and funeral planning and planning ahead.
And you've been doing this for how long have you been doing this again?
8 years. I actually come from a background as an event planner, and let's face it, funerals are the parties no one wants to plan.
Right.
But I got married for the second time in 2000, and we had a really fun Jewish Western wedding, and everybody had such a good time, I wanted to write a book about creative life cycle events and call it Matchings, Hatchings, and Dispatchings. And I got to write a monthly feature in our local newspaper that focused on weddings and births and deaths, and it was the stories about death and funerals that got the most reader response. And it told me there's a real need to be able to talk about this openly and honestly, you know, because so many people are like, ooh, we don't talk about that. And, you know, if we do, it's very hushed tones. And it's a fact of life. And there are movements to get people talking about mortality issues, death cafes. I was one of the first people in the United States to hold one of those events, which is you get together with strangers, you have some coffee or tea, some cake or cookies, and talk about whatever's on your mind about mortality. And that's grown to be a huge worldwide movement. There's death over dinner, there are festivals, there's all kinds of conversations getting started in fun and upbeat ways.
I love the idea of the death cafe. That has a nice ring to it.
Yes, and in fact, we actually have a lot of fun. There's laughter, and, you know, occasionally somebody might get a little teary over something, but more often than not, it's just a fascinating conversation. I've had people who've had near-death experiences talk about what they experience, and to a person, they all say, I am not afraid of death after what they've been through, where you're clinically dead for a period of time and they bring you back.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. What is it about, in the years that you've been doing this and you've been holding these and you're doing these seminars, you've written a book, I want to get to the book as well, what is it that you hear from people who don't want to talk about it? What's the most common excuse for people who don't want to talk about it, about this kind of thing?
I don't need to talk about it now.
Yeah.
It's just putting it off and putting it off. But you know what? We never know when our last day is going to be, and that's part of the reason people put it off. Sort of this creeping thought in their mind that if I talk about it, it's going to happen sooner rather than later. But tomorrow is not guaranteed for any of us, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But even elderly people don't want to talk about it. I mean, somebody who's 93 dies, and people are like, what did they die of? It's like, you don't get to die of old age anymore.
Mm.
It's part of, you know, Dr. Wayne Dyer actually had a really clever line. He said, life itself is a sexually transmitted terminal disease. And, you know, as soon as... it's very interesting being upfront and honest about it, and you know, let's put some fun in funeral planning, because it's a fascinating shopping trip to go to a funeral home when nobody's sick and nobody's died.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go in there and be objective and ask as many questions as you want, and you're not under any pressure, because you don't have to make a decision right then and there. But people do want to know about these topics. I did a survey before I put my events together for my upcoming Before I Die New Mexico Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one topic of interest was funerals and funeral planning. But a number of people put in their comments, don't try and sell me anything. I want my questions answered, but don't try and sell me anything. And so the important thing to do is go out there when you're not in a position where you have to buy those services, because you can think clearly, you can take your time, you can go to, I recommend checking out at least three different funeral providers to compare personalities and prices and facilities and, you know, see what kind of ideas they offer to you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, funerals are now celebrations of life, and it's a whole new ball game.
Yeah. Okay. Can you hang on, Gail?
Sure.
Gail Rubin is with us, and she can help you plan for your funeral and get you to talk about these end-of-life plans that you should be talking about. And you can check out her free seminar, which is called Kicking the Bucket List, Downsizing and Organizing. It's on Thursday, September 27th. There's two sessions, one at 10 a.m., one at 3 p.m. It's free, and it's at the Olson Burke Sullivan Funeral Home on Northwest Highway in Chicago. And we'll talk more about that in her book and her Before I Die Festival that she's going to be doing in New Mexico, which is going to be an interesting time. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with more with Gail Rubin right after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Thursday, Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in now. But right now, we are talking with Gail Rubin, who is an author and a thanatologist, and is going to be hosting a free seminar here in Chicago at the Olson Burke Sullivan Funeral Home on Northwest Highway called Kicking the Bucket List, Downsizing and Organizing, which is going to focus on end-of-life issues, which are not easy to talk about, but that's what she does. She gets people to talk about it and gives advice on it, and we welcome Gail back to the show. Gail, welcome back.
Hey, great to be here.
Tell me about a good goodbye funeral planning for those who don't plan to die.
So after I got married and had this idea to write this book about life cycle events and got to write this newspaper column, and people wanted to, most commented about funerals, I decided I'll focus on funerals. And so I focused on pre-planning a funeral, which I had never done before, and it became a good goodbye funeral planning for those who don't plan to die.
Mm-hmm.
And it became an award-winning book, and it changed the course of my career. So going from being a public relations and event planner kind of person to becoming a certified thanatologist. Thanatology, by the way, is the study of death, dying, and bereavement. That term comes from the Greek demigod Thanatos, who is the personification of a good death. His twin brother is Hypnos, which is sleep, which a lot of people are doing right now, except for your listeners. Hi, guys. So sleep and a good death are very closely related. I became a certified funeral celebrant. And I blog, and I go to the funeral director conventions as a journalist, and I do stories about new developments there in the funeral trade press and on my blog, The Family Plot.
Let me ask you this. What is a funeral director's convention like?
Oh, funeral directors are really fun people. They are funny and upbeat and they like to cut loose when they're away from the funeral home.
I bet.
But, you know, when you're working around death or you're talking about death a lot, it makes you appreciate life so much to the fullest. Mm. You want to live every day as much as you can. You know, I heard you mention reality shows.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, there was a reality show called Best Funeral Ever that focused on a funeral home in Dallas called Golden Gate, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do these over-the-top funeral theme funerals, like a Christmas funeral and going to a state fair with the ashes of the deceased. Just all kinds of, like, really crazy, very personalized and very colorful home-going celebrations.
Yeah.
So And I think more and more people are beginning to realize that, you know, it's not your grandfather's funeral anymore. It's about celebrating a life. And that opens a whole range of creative possibilities for people.
So, the seminar is coming up next Thursday. And again, it's at the Olson Burke Sullivan Funeral Home on Northwest Highway. There's one at 10 a.m., one at 3 p.m., and they're free. But tell us about the Before I Die Festival that you coordinate in New Mexico. And I have to tell you that I love the fact that you include a screening of one of my favorite movies of all time, Defending Your Life, which is just, I love that movie so much.
Oh, that is a wonderful film. So the Before I Die New Mexico Festival is an opportunity to have all sorts of outside-the-box activities to get us thinking about, talking about, and hopefully doing something about our 100% mortality rate.
Right.
So we're going to have death cafes in the reception centers of funeral homes in Albuquerque. There's a funeral home in Santa Fe that's holding a number of panel discussions and speakers. We're going to have field trips to cemeteries and the office of the medical investigator, and people get to actually see what comes out of a cremation retort. We've got yoga for grief, and we're going to have a party on Halloween in a cemetery, but with the theme of Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, from Mexico, which actually honors our ancestors and welcomes their spirits for a visit starting on Halloween and then ending on November 2nd, All Souls Day. And we'll have a symposium. Last year, the first time we did this, we had a panel of local funeral directors taking people's questions, and that was, like, over the top, so successful, so popular. People had really good questions. And I think because it was not at a funeral home, but in a kind of neutral setting where we had these three funeral directors, that people felt comfortable to come and find out what they wanted to find out about.
You know, Gail, it's fascinating to talk to you, and it really is. You know, as soon as you said hello, you seemed so upbeat and so happy, and I think that's really important for the things that you do, and I admire you for that. I really do.
Yes, I'm all about getting the conversation started.
Yeah.
Early, and don't wait until somebody's sick or dying to.
Yeah.
Find out what you need to know before you go.
Well, and that's what it's all about for Thursday the 27th. What were you going to say?
Yes. Well, yes, I was going to say, please come out and attend this talk. We're going to have fun. You'll learn a lot of things you had no idea that you need to know. And I'll have my books there, too, if you'd like to come and get a signed book.
Okay, and it's called Kicking the Bucket List, Downsizing and Organizing, Focusing on End-of-Life Issues. It's at Olson Burke Sullivan Funeral Home on Northwest Highway here in Chicago. There's one session at 10 a.m., one session at 3 a.m., and it's free.
10 p.m.
Gail, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick. Great to talk to you.
All right, take care. Gail Rubin, everybody. Fascinating stuff. And she's got the right temperament, I think, for the job. Anyway, so you can check it out at Olson Burke Sullivan Funeral Home on Northwest Highway, Thursday the 27th, 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. are the two sessions. So we're going to take a quick break. The news, the news is coming up after this. I didn't know this guy had three songs. That's Billy Vera. Was it Billy Vera and the Beaters?
You are correct.
That's a song called Hopeless Romantic, requested by the 219 area code for Triple Play Thursday. Man, do you remember how big that song was? What the hell was it on? Was it on the Family Ties? Right?
I can't say that I remember that song.
No, not that song.
Oh.
His only hit.
Mm.
He had Billy Vera and the Beaters had a hit, and the reason why it was such a big hit was because it was played on Family Ties.
I see.
I can't remember the name of the song, but I'm sure we'll hear it.
Probably.
Because that's the only hit the guy ever had. So, but it was everywhere. Everywhere. So, anyway, there you go. That's Triple Play Thursday. So if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. So a little crazy stuff's happening on the Big Brother, Dan.
Oh, yeah?
I won't give anything away because I'm, you know, some people maybe have it on their DVR. I haven't watched it. But they did this week. Now, normally, they boot somebody on Thursdays, okay? And so, but they evicted someone last night, on Wednesday night, and they're going to evict someone tonight. They're speeding up the process to the big finale, which is Wednesday night. So they did some crazy stuff, and then they evicted somebody. They evicted somebody that I liked, but I knew she was going to be evicted. Oh, no, now I just gave away the sex of the person who was evicted. But anyway, I actually liked the person that got evicted, but I knew that person would, you know, was not going to win. And then they competed for the new head of household, which means that the person who won head of household is safe and goes on basically to the finale where the final three are on the big finale. And so this person that won this HOH competition last night shocked everybody and kind of threw a monkey wrench into the plans that a certain group of people in the house had. And that kind of changed. So it was a little bit crazy. And then it's going to be kind of crazy tonight, too, for regular eviction night. But that got me thinking about the best reality shows of all time, because I think, I love Big Brother. And I know that it's, I know it's dumb, and I know, you know, it's on three nights a week, and I waste my time, and every once in a while I'll watch Big Brother After Dark, because I'm a loser. But I think the show is very, very entertaining, and I really enjoy it. So, if you guys want to go back in time here, best reality shows of all time, what are your favorite reality shows of all time? And there are tons to choose from. What are your favorites? Which ones did you watch? Maybe they're not on anymore. But, you know, Dan, you know, the first reality television show can be traced back to PBS.
I remember hearing this.
And I want to say it was called American Life or American Family.
This American Life.
This American Life.
And I'm sorry, An American Family.
An American Family, right. This American Life is Ira Glass, right?
Correct.
Okay. No,
wow, that sounds really familiar.
Yeah, it sounds really familiar. I think there's a radio show the American Family, this was a show that premiered in the 70s. And, you know, the idea was that, you know, cameras would follow around the everyday happenings of just a regular American family. And they showed it on PBS, and it was under the guise, of course, of, you know, like a documentary. And it was indeed a documentary, but in essence, that was really, really the first reality show. And, you know, obviously reality shows, you know, you put quotes around reality because, you know, many reality shows, you know, there's a lot of reality shows that actually have, you know, credited writers. And, you know, I don't know why you would credit people for writing reality, but it's because a lot of the reality shows are kind of manipulated and changed and written. And I think we realize that. I think a lot of people who enjoy reality shows like I do, or like certain reality shows like I do, understand the manipulation involved. And I don't necessarily think that, you know, a lot of the reality shows are actual reality. But this was as close as you can get, and it was on in the 70s, which nobody had really done anything like that before, with cameras following a family around. And then we were talking in the last segment, Dan, about Albert Brooks's Defending Your Life.
Right.
Albert Brooks, his first feature was called Real Life, which is brilliant and hilarious. And he was way ahead of the times because it was about a filmmaker played by Albert Brooks who was going to follow a family around and record all the stuff. He had state-of-the-art cameras. Have you seen Real Life, Dan?
I have not.
They have these cameras that he calls the Etnauers. And this movie was made in 78, released in 79. And the cameras were supposed to be unobtrusive. And so the cameras, if you Google Etnauers, Real Life, and I'm not really sure of the spelling of Etnauer because, of course, that was an invention of of Albert Brooks's. But if you're out there and you haven't seen real life, these were like state-of-the-art cameras that were going to be used so to not impose upon the family. They were going to blend in the background. Do you see what they look like, Dan?
No, I'm still working
on it. Oh, you're still working on it. Okay, Ettenauer's real life. Anyway, they're like, it's hard to describe. They look like a spaceman helmet. It covers the entire head of the cameraman, and he sticks his hands on the side, and it looks like a big like helmet, a big white helmet. And they're anything but unobtrusive. And they're hilarious. And so, you know, anyway, Albert Brooks, it plays Albert Brooks, the filmmaker. Charles Grodin is the leader of the family, and he discovers as he's doing this, you know, they're covering it, that it's not very exciting. Not a lot is going on. So, like, he wants more exciting things to happen. So it leads to him, you know, they go with the wife to a, you know, to a gynecologist visit, and they go in, and at one point, you know, like, he's like, is there anything exciting happening? And they're like, no, nothing's really exciting. And so he starts to pay off the gynecologist. Look, I'll take a hysterectomy. This guy over here, he'll take an abortion. And he starts paying the doctor off to make the scenes more exciting. And it gets so crazy, and he goes so nuts that he ends up burning their house down so that he has something on film. So that he actually has something exciting on film. It's a brilliant movie, and it's really funny, and it was inspired by what we were just talking about, the American Family. And so he was way ahead of the curve, as Albert Brooks is, you know, has been pretty much his entire career. You know, like just absolutely way ahead of the curve. And it's brilliant and really, 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 really funny. So if you've not seen Albert Brooks' first movie, Real Life, I highly recommend it. Were you able to find a picture of the Ettenauer?
Yes, that is quite a camera right there.
Isn't that amazing? By the way, one of the cameramen in it, you never see him. Harry Shearer.
Mm.
He's one of the cameramen. At one point, Albert Brooks is like talking to the cameraman. It's Harry Shearer, okay? And he's standing with that stupid Ettenauer helmet camera on. And he goes, oh, God. And Albert Brooks is having a crisis because he thinks his movie is going to be a failure because nothing exciting is happening. And he's just really upset. And he's like, I am such a, oh, my God, I'm a failure. And all of a sudden, you just hear the other cameraman, Ettenauer, go, you're not a failure. But he's got, like, the helmet over his head. So the first one can be traced back to good old PBS, and that was basically the first reality show. And you know, obviously there are tons and tons of reality. She mentioned a reality show about best funeral. I'd never heard of that before, and that sounds insane. So, you know, reality shows run the gamut, as we all know. So we're going to talk about some of the best and some of your favorites. 312-981-721. You don't have to be embarrassed to say that you watch reality shows. You're in a safe place. I watch three nights a week during the summer. I watch Big Brother. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to be embarrassed about that. I love Big Brother. I think it's great. So, you know, I dedicate three nights a week every summer to watching this stupid show, and I love it. So you're safe. If you want to admit that you like reality shows, what are your favorite? What were some of the dumbest? What were some of the worst? 312-981-7200. And there are so many. They fall under, you know, reality competition shows. You know, like Big Brother, just following people around. Although that is a competition show because it's a game. But stuff like Top Chef is considered a reality show, and that's one of my favorites of all time. But yeah, now the reason I brought this up is because crazy stuff is happening on Big Brother, and it's coming to its big end, big finale on Wednesday. And I guess the Dancing with the Stars starts on Monday. Dan, have they announced who's on Dancing with the Stars?
They have.
Oh, yes. So can you find that?
Yeah, I know John Schneider was the name that I saw.
One of the Duke boys.
Yes.
And by the way, I know that Mary loves that show. I think, and not just Mary, but I think the whole... Isn't it the whole morning show? I think Mary Boyle
was a big fan.
Andre was a big fan. I think Mary Boyle also is a fan, but I know Mary Vandeveld is a huge fan of Dancing with the Stars. And that's a show that I could never get into. That's one of those reality shows that I can't, and it's been on forever. It's massively popular. I mean, the ratings are through the roof every single season, but, you know, and I tried because I like watching a stupid reality show just as much as the next guy. But I could never get into it. I would never make it past like the second episode. I would always be like, this does nothing for me. So John Schneider, did we find out who else?
Yeah, so let's see here. Alexis Wren?
Don't know.
Bobby Bones?
Don't know.
Danelle Umstead?
Is this supposed to be Dancing with the Stars, right?
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of this, right? DeMarcus Ware, he's an ex-football player. I know
okay.
that.
All right.
Ivana Lynch?
I don't know who that is.
Joe Amiable, better known as Grocery Store Joe?
What?
John Schneider?
I know him. That's one.
Juan Pablo de Passe? Mary Lou Retton?
Oh, all right. I know her.
Milo Mannheim? Nancy McKeon?
Oh, Nancy McKeon. She was on Facts of Life.
Mm. Nikki Glaser?
What? What? Wait a minute. Wait, now, do I have to start watching this now? Nikki Glaser is on Dancing with the Stars?
Yep.
Oh, man. See, now, is it going to try and suck me in? I love Nikki Glaser. I love her. Oh.
For those of us who don't know who that is.
Oh, she's a stand-up comedian who is very, very funny, very, 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 very attractive, very sexy. And hosted a show called Not Safe with Nikki Glaser on Comedy Central. And she was a pretty much a regular on At Midnight with Hardwick. And she killed everything. I love her. She was on Patty's show a few years back. And it was one of the few times when I actually was like, Patty, can I come down? Because she was in studio. And I'm like, can I come down and meet her? I was such a dork. And she was like, yeah, come on down. And I went down and I met her and got a picture with her and stuff. And
nice.
And I love her. I think she's great. I can't believe she's on Dancing with the Stars. Now, I might actually have to watch it.
There you go. Cast round out with Tinashe, who I don't know who it is, except she was on a Proactive commercial. So she had to be somebody. I believe she was like a Nickelodeon or Disney star.
Does anybody know who some of these people are? Go through the list one more time, Dan.
Alexis.
And by the way, 312-981-7200 if you know who any of these people are on Dancing with the quote-unquote stars.
Alexis Wren, Bobby Bones, Danelle Umstead, DeMarcus Ware, Ivana Lynch, Grocery Store Joe, John Schneider, Juan de Pablo de Passe, Mary Lou Retton, Milo Mannheim, Nancy McKeon, Nikki Glaser, and Tinashe.
Okay, I know a few of them. I will say that I know a few.
I'll find more information as
okay.
well.
All right. And if you guys, anybody knows, 312-981-7200. And are you planning on watching Dancing with the Stars? Because I am now that Nikki Glaser's on it. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about reality shows in general. What are your favorites, the stupidest, the most fun to watch over the course of the years, all of them. And then we'll get more information on the cast of Dancing with the quote-unquote stars. This is not the hit song that he had. I don't know what's going on here, but 219 area code for Triple Play Thursday. One artist, three songs, 219 area code with Billy Vera, and here comes the dawn again. Nick DiGilio here, live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, here till 5 a.m. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, we've been talking about reality shows. And by the way, one of my regular listeners and one of my regular film club buddies, Rachel, just posted and asked if I would show Defending Your Life at my film club. I would love to. I would love to show all of Albert Brooks's movies at my film club. I've shown Lost in America, which is just one of the greatest comedies ever in the history of film. And I would love to show Defending Your Life. If it's available in 4K, the digital place, the digital way we display it, I would love to show it. So I will talk to the powers that be, and we'll get moving on trying to get Defending Your Life to be screened at one of my film club screenings. Because I love that movie. I love all of Albert Brooks's movies. They're all, he's never made a bad movie, and he's made four certified comedy masterpieces, and Defending Your Life is one of them. So, all right. So we were talking about Dancing with the Stars. Did we find out any more information about some of these incredible stars?
Callers are letting us know Bobby Bones is a country music radio DJ.
So is he syndicated? He's like a national, I guess?
I guess.
Okay. All right. I don't know who that is. All right. Well, now I do. All right. How many? You said there was an ex-football player, right?
DeMarcus Ware.
Okay, so there's probably a couple more athletes, because they normally have a couple of athletes that I've never heard of.
Yeah, that Juan Pablo guy, I think, is an athlete.
Okay. All right, well, we got to break again, because I yapped too long in the first segment. So we got to break. We got the news coming up. Everybody hang on. We're opening up the phone lines, text lines, and we're talking about reality shows. 312-981-7200. So we managed to get through an entire triple play without playing this guy's only hit. I don't understand. 219 area code, going deep cuts on Billy Vera, who only had one hit, and it was that song, I don't even remember the hell the name of it was, from the Family Ties.
I want to thank Eddie, who called in and made sure we knew it was this.
What did you think I would say at this moment, when I'm faced with the knowledge that you just think,
yeah,
I would curse you.
Yeah, that's it.
What does that have to do with Family Ties?
It was played at a, he was on the show, like the band was they were at a dance or something. I don't know. I mean, I just know I didn't watch Family Ties, but it involved the romance between Michael J. Fox and his real life wife, who played his girlfriend on the show, and they were at this. This song played while they had like a fight or something, and they made up. And it was like a really highly rated show. And at that point, you know, everybody watched the show. And so it was Alex P. Keaton and his girlfriend, Vera and the Beaters, or whatever the hell they were. They were playing in a bar or at a dance or something, and that song played while they made up or they danced or they fought or whatever. And at that time, it was the biggest show on TV, and it was, you know, Michael J. Fox was the biggest star on TV, and I think that I think this was post Back to the Future. So he was like the biggest dude in the world at that point, and whatever romance he was having on Family Ties was like, everybody was watching it, and then this Billy Vera dude, who I think one of the producers knew him, and just put him in the show, and then the next thing you know, this guy's got it like a number one hit all over the place the next day. And then, unfortunately, we had to hear it every 5 seconds on the radio. So, I think that's how it worked. I just remember it was closely associated with Family Ties. And yes, Dan, I have no idea what it has to do with anything, except, like I said, I think
I get it now.
One of the producers put the guy in there because he knew him. I think. I don't know. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. It's Thursday morning, Triple Play Thursday. That's three songs, one artist, 312-981-7200. Is the phone number. We are talking about reality shows. The Dancing with the Stars lineup has been announced already, and it starts on Monday. And I might have to like at least watch some of it because Nikki Glaser is on it for some reason. I watch Big Brother, and Big Brother is coming to a finale on Wednesday. And I wanted to get your thoughts on some of the best and some of the weirdest and some of the goofiest, maybe your favorite reality shows of all time. Here's Julie on WGN. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Hi.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm a night person, so good. I'm up all good. Night anyway. I there's a lot of them, but I always love Ghost Hunters.
Oh, Ghost Hunters, yeah.
Now, yeah.
There's a
the one with the plumbers, Jason and Grant.
Yeah, there's a number of those now, the Ghost Hunter reality shows.
Yeah, but I always thought they were the best.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, cool. Yeah. Ghost Hunters. All right, Julie, thanks.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Keep enjoying your show.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Okay, here we go. We have the the profiles of all the stars from Dancing with the Stars. Thank you, Dan. Are we ready to find out who these people are?
I just sat down, thankfully.
Joe Amiable. He was on The Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paris. That's why I don't know who he is. He's partnered with Jenna Johnson. If you do, it's as Grocery Store Joe. When Becca Cuffren inexplicably eliminated this charming Chicago grocery store owner on the first night of last season's The Bachelorette, viewers freaked out, and he's developed a rather intense fan following. Okay, well, that makes sense that I don't know who that is, because I do not watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or The Bachelorette on the Beach or in Paradise or whatever the hell any of those are called. Bobby Bones, we heard that one already. He's a country radio personality. Bobby hosts a popular country music morning show in America, The Bobby Bones Show, He was a mentor on American Idol last season. He is also the author and stand-up comedian, and he has a band called The Raging Idiots. All right. Juan Pablo DePace partnered with Cheryl Burke. The Argentine-born actor got his start on Spanish TV but landed his breakout role a couple of years ago on Netflix hit spinoff Fuller House. Again, explains why I don't know who that is. Nikki Glaser. She's the Comedy Central stand-up star, talk show host who appeared on the roasts of Bruce Willis and Rob Lowe. She has a daily Sirius XM radio show called You Up with Nikki Glaser. And she is partnered with Gleb Sevchenko. See, I have to ask, when Mary gets in, I have to ask her if that's a good partner for Nikki Glaser to have. Ivana Lynch is an actress. She is partnered with Keo Motsepe. Harry Potter, she's Luna Lovegood. Okay. All right. I didn't know her real name, but she's in the Harry Potter movie. She played Luna Lovegood. She had no professional acting experience when she got the part. She was just a huge fan of the books. Okay, so I know who she is. That's Luna Lovegood from the... Okay. Milo Manheim, 17 years old, partnered with Whitney Carson. You won't know this kid unless you're a fan of the Disney Channel original movie Zombies, where he does star as a zombie high school football player. You might remember, you know his mom, Cameron Manheim, from... I know his mom. Cameron Manheim from The Practice. Nancy McKeon, I know her. She's from Facts of Life. Alexis Wren, she's a model. She got her start as an Instagram model, though eventually she made the leap to the page of Sports Illustrated. Okay, I don't know who that is. Mary Lou Retton, we all know who that is. 84 Olympics and all that stuff. John Schneider, we all know him. Bo Duke. Tinashe. Is an R&B singer whose debut album made a splash in 2014. You might have also caught her on TV as a recurring character in the sixth and seventh seasons of Two and a Half Men or on Cartoon Network's Out of Jimmy's Head. Danelle Umstead. She is a paraplegic downhill skier. Okay. She earned two bronze medals in the 2014 Winter Paraplegic Games. And then DeMarcus Ware, NFL player. So, all right, those are your Dancing with the Stars. I do. Remind me, Dan, I'm going to hang on to this. I want to ask Mary when she gets in if Gleb Sevchenko is a good partner for my friend Nikki Glaser. I have to ask. All right. We're talking reality shows. 312-981-7200. It's Tom on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you today?
All right.
Don't forget the godfather of all shows, and that was Ted Mack's original Amateur Hour. Now, it was the forerunner to what American Idol was back, rather recently.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of texting or anything like that, you called in and got the votes for the person to win. And, of course, we can't forget American Idol because that was one of the shows that was a long-running show.
Yeah, American Idol was obviously, when it first started, it went through the roof. I mean, it was really, really popular. A lot of those, those sort of game shows from the 50s were forerunners of the reality shows that we see now. Like Queen for a Day is another one.
Oh, yeah.
Queen for a Day was just so sad.
I've Got a Secret was another one.
Yeah, a lot of those panel shows, really began as sort of reality shows, and then of course there was the stuff like the prank shows, like Candid Camera was another one that was like the first one to do those kind of things. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we can thank the television powers way back in the 50s and 60s for putting the kind of element in those shows that we enjoy today,
still to this day. Yeah. Okay, Tom, thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We got some texts coming in. We're talking reality shows, and obviously we've been covering a little bit of the history of the reality shows, but I also want to hear from you guys. Which ones do you guys love? Which ones do you think are ridiculous? And I've got some here in front of me that I had forgotten about, that I I can't believe we're on the air, and some of which that I watched, and I can't believe I watched. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Mile High Max texts in, go JC on Big Brother. Come on, Max, you're rooting for JC? Really? I think he's also a lefty like us. He is a lefty. I'll give him that much. He could win it or at least be a runner-up. Love your show, Nick. Well, after what happened last night, Max, yeah. Yeah. I can't root for JC. I can't, in good conscience, root for JC. At this point, I'm rooting for KC. See how confusing it gets, Dan?
I hope you have a scorecard.
But JC is just the letter J and the letter C, but KC is K-A-Y-C-E-E. That's her name. But I'm rooting for KC at this point. JB, the best reality show was WWE's Tough Enough. I loved that show. You ever watch Tough Enough, Dan?
I did not.
You know this concept? It was just people would go to training camp to see if they could be superstars?
I believe I, yeah.
That's the basic idea.
And then they graduated to whatever, low-rung WWE.
Yeah. 630 area code, Pawn Stars. I can watch that all day. Even though it's the most set-up reality show, it's still very entertaining and somewhat educational. My dad loves all of those pawn-shopped reality shows, loves them all. My dad loves them all. I remember they had a marathon of them on one Thanksgiving a few years ago. All we did was we ate and we watched porn. Oh, I don't know which one it was. Is there Hardcore Pawn?
Believe so. That's the father, son, and
the father just no. Yeah, no. Was that the one where the father just passed away?
No, that's Pawn Stars.
That's Pawn Stars. The older dude just passed away. 630 area code says by far the craziest, in my opinion, was I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I watched that show over there. It's basically like Survivor, but with celebrities. And they threw them on an island. 765 area code. Oh, 765 area code is a person after my own heart, may I say. Chose The Mole, which was a great reality show. And Celebrity Mole. The Mole and Celebrity Mole, those were great. And, of course, Bands on the Run, which, in my opinion, greatest reality show of all time. I cannot believe they only did one season of it. Flicker Stick rules.
When we were talking to the guys from Man Fighting Bear earlier, it had echoes of Bands on the Run with the competition.
With their competition that they're doing next Thursday, yeah. Did you ever watch The Mole, Dan?
I did not.
That was a fun show, and the Celebrity Mole was fun as well. It was like you had to figure out which person was the mole trying to sabotage the game. It was a fun show. That was a really good one. I really liked that one too. But both of those by 765, you got some good taste in your reality shows because The Mole and Bands on the Run way near the top on my list. Bands on the Run being my favorite of all time. They need to bring that back. Man, or at least rerun the one season. I want to see more Flicker Stick. I want to see Soul Cracker in conflict with Flicker Stick, and then Flicker Stick getting drunk and beating each other up. That's what I want to see. It was the best. It was the best show ever, man. It was the best. My ex-girlfriend Helene and I would rush home to watch that. We would just. It was ridiculous. I love that show. All right, 312-981-7200. Here's Trucker Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick, how you doing tonight?
All right.
I guess you'd call them automotive reality shows.
Uh-huh.
Like the old overhauling. Well, now there's one that's based out of the Joliet area called Garage Squad.
Okay.
Where people who've got cars that they don't have the knowledge to put back together or they've had some type of family crisis and they send in a small video and they come around and fix their cars for them. And they're, like I say, it's all around the Joliet area.
No. Oh. Okay.
And the only time we've ever watched Dancing with the Stars is when David Rossi was on there. And like my wife said, when they showed, we watched it just after we taped it just for Rossi. But my wife said, if I was David Rossi's wife, I'd be a little bit jealous because of the chemistry those two had together.
Oh, is that right?
Rossi and his partner, yeah, they just clicked. But
I didn't even watch it then. I know, you know what I mean. I didn't even when Grandpa was on. I didn't even watch it. I just because, but you know, I don't know. I well, just,
we We just watched it because of David Ross, right? Yeah. After, that was the year after the World Series.
Right, exactly. And I was like, I was interested, and I think I saw some of the footage online, because, I mean, you know, they showed the routines and stuff like that. And I love the fact that they would, I love the fact that they were showing it on the Jumbotron at Wrigley, and people were cheering him.
Right. Yeah.
So that was fun, but I didn't get to watch it. So, all right, Rich, thank you, buddy.
And just one quick question. Was Candid Camera, was that a reality show?
Kind of, you know, in the sense that you were capturing real people, you know, being tricked. So,
right.
I mean, it's kind of, it's one of those early things that laid the groundwork for what would become reality TV. Sure.
Okay. All right. I was just kind of wondering. All right.
Okay, Rich.
Thanks, guys. Have a good evening.
You too, buddy.
Yep, bye.
All right. Let's take a break, and we will come back with more. Reality TV, we didn't even scratch the surface yet. There's 9 million reality TV shows. 312-981-7200. What were your favorites? All right, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday! That's one artist, three songs. Mike requesting Chicago. That's I'm a Man. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We're talking reality shows, and here are some that we all have remembered. How about Say Yes to the Dress? Shopping for a wedding dress can be a monumental yet stressful ordeal. Luckily, Say Yes to the Dress gives a few some help in finding the perfect dress for their special day. The series takes place in New York City's Kleinfeld Bridal, follows soon-to-be brides in the journey of choosing their dream wedding dress along with the help from their friends and family. There are even two Atlanta spinoffs. At Bridals by Lori, one of which helps people pick out bridesmaids' dresses because they're usually a real disaster. I've never seen Say Yes to the Dress. Dan, have you ever seen Say Yes to the Dress?
I have seen Say Yes to the Dress.
Is it enjoyable?
It is enjoyable. You get to hear nice stories about the ladies, and you know, you kind of get that feeling like, oh, this is it, you know. So it's nice.
I used to watch with my ex. And I really enjoy, because she was a big fan of it, and I can't remember the name of it, but Clinton was one of the hosts of it. It was a guy and a girl. They would go to somebody's house.
Yeah.
And they were a fashion disaster. Their friends would send in like videotapes of them, and then they would go into the surprise the person who had been nominated by their friends and family as a terrible, terrible dresser. And then they would go in through their closet and throw their clothes out, throw all their terrible clothes into the garbage, and then, remake them and redesign and get them dry. And I can't remember the name of it, but I thought it was very.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody will text it in.
Somebody, it was on. It's on TLC as well.
Yeah, they're feuding now too, as well. If I remember correctly.
The two people on the show,
What Not to Wear.
What Not to Wear? Yes, that was that. I thought that show was very entertaining, and I thought they were both terrific. They're not friends now.
Apparently so. Yeah.
No, they were friendly. All right, What Not to Wear? That was fun. Okay, let's take a break. We got the news coming up next on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It is Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday! It's one artist, three songs. Get your requested now. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. Mike requesting Chicago. That's Liberation, which is an instrumental. Alrighty, then. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And then I'll be joining Steve and the gang, as I do every Thursday morning at 6:20, to talk about some of the entertainment stuff in the world and movies and all kinds of cool stuff. So stick around for that. We are talking reality shows. Dancing with the Stars kicks off on Monday. We were just talking about the new lineup of Dancing with the Stars, and I was talking about how Big Brother is getting pretty crazy and getting close to having their big finale on Wednesday. And so that got me thinking about great reality shows from the past and some other ones. We were just talking about Say Yes to the Dress and What Not to Wear. Some of those TLC reality makeover shows. Yeah. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Brian on WGN. Hi, Brian.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
And one of the shows that was truly entertaining was the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Boy, those queens were entertaining.
Yeah, they were.
they were so funny.
No, that was a terrific show. I've not seen the new one. Dan, have you seen the new one on Netflix?
I have not.
And they, by the way, presented on the Emmys. They had all the Queer Eye guys come out and present on the Emmys. But yeah, no, the original Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, man, that was a huge show. That show
was funny.
Yeah.
No one ever seen anything like that before. Never. No one's that flamboyant. Maybe see one or two, but
yeah,
I saw a bunch of the air, which was entertaining. I mean, it was really funny. They were cruel tearing the old guys apart. They weren't true. It was funny.
Yeah. No, that was a good show. I just haven't seen the newest one. The new one. Brian, thanks for the call.
Sure, buddy.
Okay, take care. 312-981-7200. I hear the new one's good. People love it. So, let's see. What about Next? That's a dating show on MTV. If you thought being rejected by someone you like is bad, try doing it on national TV. And MTV's Next, main contestants were set up on blind dates while other potential suitors waited in an RV for their own turn. At any moment, the main contestant could just say next to end the date. It was highly embarrassing for the suitor, but it didn't come without benefits. The person who got nexted received $1 for each minute that the date lasted. What? I never watched that one. Now, you know, I will say, I mean, if we're talking reality, classic reality shows on MTV, I mean, The Real World takes the cake. There's no question about it. Although I stopped watching it. We've mentioned this before when Esmeralda and I would talk about The Real World. We both stopped watching it after the Vegas season because the Vegas season was ridiculous. And the show kept getting more ridiculous, but the Vegas season was just ridiculous. There was nothing but people, you know, having sex. It was ridiculous. And then that eventually would morph into the more crazy, outrageous, like coupling up reality shows that sort of dominated MTV and still dominate MTV to this day. And then like the Jersey Shore, which is a show I never watched. But for the first few seasons up to Vegas, those seasons were great. The Real World were great, and I particularly like I'm a big fan of I like all of them. The original New York season is great because the concept was so different, and you know the concept was new, and it really caught everybody's eye. And but San Francisco was the one that I thought was the best. That was the season with Puck. Whatever happened to that guy? Anybody ever know what happened to Puck? Yeah. You know, that was the first season where they really openly talked about HIV on that because it was Pablo was his name. Was it Pablo?
Yeah.
And it was a really good season. It was entertaining, and it had all the earmarks. You know, it had the fighting and it had all that stuff. And Puck was responsible for most of the. for most of the fighting that would take place. But yeah, that was back when that show was really good. I thought the Seattle season was really good. You know who I used to talk a lot about a Real World with, Dan?
Who's that?
Mary June Rose.
Oh.
She was... I remember us talking at length about the Seattle season when that was happening. She was my boss here for a while. Actually gave me my first gig on the air. Outside of being on Roy's show, like she's like, I think I might be making a mistake, but I think I'd like to give you a show. I'm going to hook you up with a guy named Gary Lee Wright, and you guys can host Saturday nights overnight. That's how, and it was her idea. So thank you, Mary June. But yeah, so does anybody know where Puck is?
So not surprisingly, had some legal troubles.
No.
Yes. but 2013, according to Wikipedia. He lives on a farm in California, raising chickens, racing four-wheel ATVs, and living, quote-unquote, off the grid.
I see. Okay. Good old Puck. Picking his nose, riding his bike around. He was a messenger, bike messenger. Remember he'd have, like, scabs all over his legs and everything? Did you watch that season?
I did see, yeah, that one I didn't see.
That was a good season. That was a very strong season.
Sure, yeah. Judd and Pam and
yeah.
All that.
Oh, yeah. Judd, he's a cartoonist.
Right.
Aren't they together? Didn't they get together?
I believe they did.
And they married,
married,
right? Yeah, they got married. Yeah, that was a good season. That was back when that show was good. Yeah. We're talking reality shows. All right, how about Extreme Makeover Home Edition? Dan, come on now. Every episode, there's a sick kid. You know what I mean? And they have to make the house, the kid doesn't, has no bones or something. And so they have to, adjust the house and make the house better. And you cried every time. Who was the dude, the shirtless dude who hosted, what was his name?
Ty Pennington?
Yeah, that was his name, that guy. We'd watch that show, my ex-wife and I would watch that show and cry every single episode. You know, you'd cry at the story. And then, of course, you'd cry every time they would cut to them. They're at Disney World. You know what I mean? While they're tearing up the house,
right?
They're changing the house, building everything back up, and then they cut to the family at Disney World and the sick kid having a great time. And then the reveal when the bus moves and the truck moves, and boom, they see the new house. I fall on the ground and they're crying, and then they take them through the house with all the lovely new innovations and everything. That show, whatever happened to that show? How come it's not on all the time?
I think they did try to mount a remake of it. Apparently it met with some controversy. People said it was a little too exploitive of the families.
Oh, okay. Well, they did good for the family, though. You know, they did nice things for the family, don't you think? I guess.
I would say that.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought the show, man, it used to get to me every single, we would watch it every Sunday, and I'd be like, we'd be watching it crying. And then shirtless man would be running around with a tape measure. All right. Here's Doc on WGN. Hi, Doc.
Good morning. Hey, great topic.
Thank you.
How about the show Whisker Wars on competitive facial hair competition?
It's fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah. The first season had 8 episodes, and obviously that was filmed and edited, but right when that season ended, they had that year's championships for Beard Team USA, which there's 80 chapters, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And I went to the national championships that year.
Oh, did you?
I'm from Kansas City, and I think there was 3 guys from Missouri, but that was the largest beard contest held to date. They had about 400 competitors. It was in a minor league ballpark. 2,500 spectators.
Yeah.
And just a couple months after that, I went to the Ohio State Championships, and I was always standing by this guy named Arnie Bielefeld, and he was one of the main characters that they followed. They followed about a half a dozen of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he was from California, and he had his own club, Arnie Bielefeld Terminal Length Beard Club, which terminal length is your beard grows as long as it'll grow and then just starts breaking off. Might be 14 inches like mine. It might be 3 feet. Well, here comes the second season, first episode. There's Doc, 8 on-camera appearances in a 30-minute episode.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, we used to have a guy that worked here, Scott Miller, who produced Pete McMurray's show, and now he's got his own show. Where is he now?
Down in Bloomington Normal.
He's in Bloomington Normal. He's got his own show, Scott Miller, and he is a competitive. He's got some fantastic facial hair. That guy, Scott.
Yeah, look up Beard Team USA and World Beard Mustache Association.
Yeah. Okay.
And Beard Team USA has championship every year, and the World Championships are every 2 years.
Right.
But then they have all style category, and some of the stuff these people do in freestyle category is phenomenal.
I bet. All right, Doc, thanks, man.
All right.
Have a good morning. Yeah, Scott Miller's, and he's got an impressive beard. Have you ever seen him without a beard? Have you ever seen him clean shaven?
Oh, yeah, baby face.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, that's impressive. He's gone on those. He's done the beard competitions many times. Yeah. I've had some of the other guys on my show, the guys who would do the beard competition. I've had some of them over the years. I've had them on the show. 312 area code says, I love Survivor. I've never missed an episode. That's another show. I should like Survivor since I watch Big Brother on a regular, regularly. And I've watched a little bit of Survivor, but it's it never hooked me. I mean, I've watched it here and there, but I would never faithfully watch it every single episode. But do you know what the theme is for this season of Survivor, Dan?
What's that?
David versus Goliath. So it's like really a team that's really big, muscular, big, and then a team that's really skinny and small. That's it.
Are the skinny and small people crafty?
Yeah, that's the hook is that the big Goliath people are dumb, you know. But if they have a physical challenge, that they'll probably, you know, excel at that. But anything that requires any use of their brains is not going to work. But no, I mean, obviously, there's no denying. I'll never forget the first season Survivor started. It was 2000. It was the summer of 2000. I'll never forget it because it was everywhere. Like, except for me and Helena. Helena and I didn't watch it. We were the only two people that in our group of friends who didn't watch that show. And it was the topic of conversation. I remember people, I would come down to the Tribune building, you know, like on a couple of afternoons to do some to do a little work, and then meet Helena worked downtown. I'd meet her, and then we'd go home together. And everybody was leaving work early because I remember when the finale happened, people were like, "I got to get out of here. I got to get home and watch Survivor." I'm like, oh "My God!" And it has that type of following to this day. I mean, one of the most successful reality shows of all time. My mom still watches Survivor. You know, my mom watches Big Brother. So we talk about Big Brother every day. Like when I talk to my mom after, like this morning, when I call my parents this morning, which I do every morning, we will talk about last night's episode of Big Brother in detail and then preview what's going to happen tonight. And my dad's like, I don't know why you watch that stuff. But my dad loves the announcer on Big Brother because this is how he says the name of the show. Tonight on Big Brother, that's how he says it. And so my dad, you know, like when we start talking about Big Brother, I can hear my dad in the background in the house going, Big Brother.
I'd imagine he's a big fan of Zingbot or whatever his name is as well.
Yeah, my dad watches when Zingbot's on because Zingbot comes in and just like burns people. Zingbot. All right, we're going to break here. We got weather, and then when we come back, we'll jump back into... We got a bunch more texts here, phone calls coming in, 312-981-7200. We live in a land of reality TV all over the place, and we're talking about some of the ones from the past and the present. 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. That's Mike with Triple Play Thursday. Yeah! It's One Artist, Three Songs, Chicago with Fancy Colors. And welcome back. We're live in the Skyline Studio here on the 18th floor above beautiful downtown Chicago. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are talking reality shows. Coming up at 5 o'clock is Steve Grzanich, and at 6 o'clock is Steve Cochran with your opening. He'll have the... Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell. Steve Cochran will have the Steve Cochran show. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Okay, we're talking reality shows. A couple more texts here. 219 area code says, I'm not a big America's Got Talent fan, but the talent on last night's finale was outstanding. Megan says, I love the competition shows. Top Chef, Survivor, Face Off, The Great British Bake Off, etc. Yeah, you know, Top Chef is obviously one of my favorite shows of all time. I have not missed... I've never missed an episode. I've never missed one episode of Top Chef. Had several of the chef testants on over the years on my show. Hit some of the winners and some of the runners up. Last season was ruined for me by Vic Vaughn. The finale. but that goes without saying. Top Chef is, you know, I mean, that's just the, you know, that's the pinnacle of the reality competition shows. It's just the best, and I love to cook, and I love to watch people cook, and. And it's a brilliant show. It's just the way it has been. It's constructed the way that it's pretty much stayed the same every year. It's a great, and they have a really good talent. Whoever does the casting on Top Chef does a great job because they get consistently really interesting and really talented people on that show. You know, with interesting background stories. And, you know, the people who put that show together, and you know, they know how to put together the correct amount of drama, the correct amount of talent. Top Chef is just, it's great. It's, you know, what a reality competition show should be. And then also Megan says, do you remember the 70s house? It was one season. Natasha Leggero hosted as Dawn, and people had to live like the 70s. If they used modern slang, they were punished. It was on MTV in 2005. Yes, I watched that. I watched the 70s house. Yes, I did. I didn't remember that that was Natasha Leggero. Wow. Thank you, Megan. You have to go back and look that one up and see her do the hosting, because that was before I knew who she was, Natasha Leggero. You know who she is, Dan?
I do. I've never seen her stand up, but I know who she is.
Yeah. Because she's on that same, she's in that same, you know, group of Comedy Central stars that right. Nikki Glaser is.
Sure.
That's the same kind of thing. She's really funny. Natasha Leggero is really, really funny. 815 area code. MTV's Fear. A group of people are left alone to explore haunted locations with cameras mounted on their body. I loved that show. Loved that show. And it was just basically, Dan, people walking around in dark rooms freaking out. That's essentially all it was. And I thought it was great. All right. We're going to break here. We got the news coming up next, and then more reality show talk. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Welcome back, everybody. Triple Play Thursday continues.
Yeah!
Hey, Dan. Our guest earlier, Eric, from Man Fighting Bear, that album, that song is from the first album he ever bought.
That is correct.
Chris, picking some Van Halen, and that's Panama, so it's a good thing it's Triple Play Thursday, because now we get to hear two more Van Halen songs. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. I'm your overnight dude, 1 to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will be in with the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran with your morning drive at 6. We're talking reality shows, because Big Brother is coming to an end. The Dancing with the Stars is starting out on Monday. And there's a ton of reality shows. There are tons and tons of reality shows on the networks and streaming all over the place. And we've been going through some of the history of reality shows and some of our favorites and some of the most ridiculous. And we want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Here's Trucker Jeff on WGN. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Do you remember Real World Road Rules Challenge?
Yes.
That was a pretty good show. Also, what is it? Me and my wife started watching Married at First Sight.
Married at First Sight. I've not watched that one.
These people are set up. They don't get to see each other until they get married.
What?
And then they're together for 9 weeks, and at the end of it, they decide if they want to stay married. It comes on, I think it comes on like A&E or, no, it's on Oxygen.
Okay. Wow, I don't know that one. That sounds crazy.
But I wanted to ask you about, about Big Brother. I believe Casey's going to vote out Tyler tonight. Do you not think so?
I think that here's the thing. I don't. I think he's going to put up. I think JC is going to put up Tyler and Angela. I think that's. I think
He already did. I've already watched it on Big Brother After Dark.
Oh, well, they showed that already.
They're already up on the block.
Okay, well I didn't see that. That's going to actually happen on the show tonight on the regular broadcast tonight.
They're up on the block, and JC? He's HOH.
Right. No, I know JC's HOH, but I didn't know that they put those two on the block. But I mean, there's still a chance that they get. You know, there's still a chance that either one of them could get the veto. So, who knows?
Yeah.
But
no. What is it? Casey already won the veto.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. thanks for telling me. All right. Okay. Thanks for telling me what happened on tonight's episode. Oh, man. See, this is when you watch Big Brother After Dark and when you watch the live feeds, a lot of the stuff that they're going to have on the show that's going to be happening tonight, they're going to show tonight. But now I know everything except for who's going to get bent. Now I know everything that's going to happen on tonight's show except for who's going to get evicted. I love you, Jeff, but I could kill you right now. All right. Well, anyway, that's that. Don't tell everybody. If you've watched the live feeds and other people don't watch the live feeds, or if you've not watched, you know, After Dark, don't tell everybody what happens. So, Jeff, thank you. I appreciate the call. Oh, boy. All right. Let's see. We've got some texts here. 262 area code says British Baking Show and Project Runway. 630 area code. The Mole, the original, was hosted by Anderson Cooper. It was canceled mid-season. It never saw the end. Yeah. I remember watching that. And the Celebrity Mole came back, and that was successful. 801 area code says the only reality show that I can stand is Relative Race on BYU TV. Actually, interesting stories with no amateur singing or dancing. Well, there's no amateur singing or dancing on Top Chef. I don't know. 224 area code says, what about Urban Tarzan? What is Urban Tarzan?
It's a guy who goes and gets exotic animals that have escaped from houses and then like rehabilitates them. And
what?
Yeah.
So wait, people who shouldn't have those kind of pets, are you saying?
I mean, they might have permits for them, but it's like pythons that escape and things like that.
Oh my God.
I didn't know it. I had to look it up to make sure it wasn't a fake show.
What channel is it on? Does it say what network? Urban Tarzan? That sounds crazy.
Spike.
Oh, of course. Well, Spike no longer exists, so it's now the Paramount Network.
Right, and it was on for one season, it looks like.
Oh, it was only on. Oh, okay, so it's not on anymore. Now, speaking of Spike or the Paramount Network, of course, the Fantastic Bar Rescue with Screaming John Taffer. That show is ridiculous. And I watch it all the time. That's another one of those things, you know, like Kitchen Nightmares and all that stuff where, you know, you go in, the business is not good, and then you just, you know, you give the business a big makeover. I watch all that stuff. I watch all that crap. All of the reality shows that feature Gordon Ramsay, I watch them all. Gordon Ramsay, all of them. Hotel Hell, or whatever the hell, Hotel it is, Hell, Kitchen Nightmares, Hell's Kitchen, Master Chef, which is coming to an end. We're very close to the finale right now for this season. All of that crap, I watch it all. Have you ever seen Alone on the History Channel? It's like Survivor on crack. No, I have not. Now, you mean Naked and Alone or Naked? No, that's Naked and Afraid. Naked and Afraid. God, these reality shows have gotten completely out of hand. Crazy. All right, here is Glenn on WGN. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, morning, Nick. How are you doing?
All right.
Well, the show has been on for quite a few years, and it started in the UK, was Junkyard Wars.
Oh, yeah.
I love this show. It's just fun, you know, testosterone show.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a kick. I wish they'd bring that one back, but, and me and my wife like watching the Junior Bake Off show.
Yeah.
It's these kids just embarrass the hell out of me, you know, how good of cooks they are.
Oh, I know. Like Master Chef Junior is ridiculous. You know, you watch these kids, it's like, and the last Master Chef Junior, little girl from Chicago won.
Oh, did she? That's
yeah.
Cool.
And
that's cool.
She's like nine, and she's 50 times the cook that I am.
Yeah, you should have her on your show.
I would love to have her on the show. I don't know if a 9-year-old can stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, you have to bring your parents. But,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
All right, Glenn. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Have a good
one. Take care, buddy. All right. Here's Chris on WGN. Hi, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Morning.
The show I wish they would bring back was the Simple Life with Nicole Richie and Paris. They was thinking about doing a reboot, so I hope they bring back that reality show.
Yeah, I hated that show, Chris. I'm sorry. I absolutely hated that show. Yeah. It drove me nuts. I don't know. I hated it. But they're not friends anymore, so I don't think they're gonna. Are they friends again now? Paris Hilton and
I don't think so. But or maybe some other celebrities they can blame.
Yeah, they can recast
Arkansas.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Chris. Thanks, buddy. Take care. I hated that show. Oh my God, I hated that show so much. It was just these two spoiled, rotten, rich people making fun of people who work 10, 12 hours a day. You know, they would go to a farm and then they would go, okay, now you guys have to milk the cows. And of course they wouldn't do it. They would last like 2 seconds and then like make fun of the people who do it. And I was like, how dare you? You know what I mean? How dare you? I hated that show. And it, you know, I would watch it here and there and just get so angry I'd have to turn it off. Because, you know, just, hey, working class people are morons. We're spoiled and rich. I hated it. God, I hated it. And who the hell wants to watch Paris Hilton do anything? So, the hottie and the naughty. You ever see that masterpiece, Dan?
No, I did not.
Oh, my God. Hey, she does get killed in House of Wax. That was all right. In the House of Wax remake, Paris Hilton gets offed. So that was pretty cool. All right, let's break. We got weather coming up here, and then we'll come back and talk more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number here on WGN. This is really a stupid song. I mean, I love it, but it's really stupid. I love, one of the many reasons why I love it is because it reminds me of the 84 Cubs. And they used to take the field to that song. And it was the theme of the 84 Cubs, who had a smashing year. I'd still like to smack Steve Garvey across the head. Chris Van Halen, Jump, and it's a Triple Play Thursday. Yeah! 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You know, there was a while, Dan, in the 90s, when for some inexplicable reason,
mm-hmm.
if you're at Wrigley, the Cubs would take the field to the theme from St. Elmo's Fire. And I just would, every time, I'd be like, why? Why? Not Man in Motion, not the John Parr, gonna be a man in motion. The theme from the instrumental music theme from St. Elmo's Fire, that's what they would come out to the field at Wrigley every day to for a few seasons. And my friends and I would be out in the bleachers going, why are they playing this? I don't understand. Go back to Jump. Play Jump again. I haven't been to a game in a while. What do they come out to? Do they come out to anything specific now?
I'm trying to think. I can't recall, but it's not that.
It's not the St. Elmo's Fire. No, I know. That was a while ago. They changed that a while ago. But that was like in the late 80s into the early 90s. That's when they were doing the St. Elmo's Fire theme. And every single time, every time we go to a game, we would just, my friends and I would just shake our heads going, why the St. Elmo's Fire theme? I don't understand this at all. Hey, did you know that yesterday was the 4-year anniversary of me, Pete McMurray, and Patty Vasquez singing into a microphone that didn't work?
I did see that on Facebook.
Yeah. 4 years ago, we sang the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley, which was an honor and a thrill. Mic didn't work, but it was still magical and amazing. But yeah, yesterday was, I can't believe 4 years. Can't believe 4 years has gone by. Crazy. Cubs got killed that day. And I think they were like 18 games under 500 at that, point. And now what are they, like 22 games above 500 now? What a difference 4 years make, huh? Thank you, Theo. All right, we're talking about reality shows here, and we were just discovering Urban Tarzan. I'm sad that's not on anymore. Canadian Bill says, did you ever see Joe Schmo on Spike TV? Yes, I did. That show was hilarious. It was a fake reality TV show where everyone on the show were actors and in on the joke, except one guy. They're Joe Schmo, but he or she would be the winner of $100,000. So, like, there was one person that wasn't in on it. Everything else was fake. They thought they were on a reality show, but they were all actors and everything was fake and planned out. And it was actually really funny. 608 area code, Trading Spaces. I used to watch that one too. That was a real popular one. That's one of those makeover ones that really took off. Like for TLC, that became like a big one. Who were the designers on that show? I can't remember. The original Trading Spaces. And like the couple would leave, you know, they'd leave the house and they'd come back to the room and it would be, you know, and it would be completely different than they would always. I remember one time. Do you remember did you ever watch that show, Dan?
I did not.
It was a very entertaining show. Very entertaining. But the best episode was when the couple came back and saw the room and the woman hated it and started crying. And they have it all. They showed the episode. And she hated it so much that she started crying. She was like, no, I can't stay. This is awful. And I get, and if I remember correctly, they did change it to her specifications, but she hated it and just started bawling her eyes out. And I that episode was like, wow, that's pretty cool that they're actually showing this episode that the designers completely screwed up and messed up this person's, you know, messed up this person's kitchen or this room or whatever it was. And the woman hated it and was just bawling her eyes out. I like when they go back, like on Bar Rescue or Kitchen Disasters, and they go back to the restaurant like 6 months later or to the bar 6 months later, and they completely change the. There's a bar on is it Illinois that we do we take Illinois back? We used to take Illinois back.
We came in on Illinois, so we would take Hubbard out.
Hubbard, okay, so it was on Hubbard, and it was called the Blue Frog. And you know what I'm talking about, right?
I do.
Okay, it was on Hubbard, and Taffer came in there screaming, flipping tables, going nuts, and then he changed the place, and he changed it to the Local. It was called the Local, changed the whole look and the feel of it, and then like a month, 2 months later, they changed it back to Blue Frog, but it says the Local Blue Frog, and they completely changed the interior back to what it was. That's always really funny when they just go, screw this. I'm not going to listen to Taffer. How about Battle of the Network Stars? Was that reality TV? Oh, yeah. Come on now. 847 area code asking that question. Battle of the Network Stars was classic, man. So, all right, we got a break. We got news coming up, and then we'll talk a little bit more about reality shows and some of the best and worst. Which ones did you love? News is up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Triple Play Thursday wrapping up this morning. That's one artist, three songs. Chris picking Van Halen. That's Hot for Teacher. You picked three songs from 1984. How about that? Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here in the Allstate Skyline Studio. 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and we're talking reality shows. Been talking about it for a while because there are so many of them, and we barely kind of scratched the surface because there's so many of them. We've been talking about the history of them and all kinds of other crazy stuff. And let's go to the phones here for Philip on WGN. Hi, Philip.
Hey, Nick. How you doing this morning?
All right.
Did you ever get a chance to watch Wife Swap?
Yes, I watched Wife Swap a few times, and I watched Celebrity Wife Swap when they, because I can't remember who he swapped with, but Ric Flair was on, professional wrestler Ric Flair.
I missed that one. That sounds like it would have been a good one.
Yeah, and I can't, and maybe did he switch with Mankind? Maybe it was Mick Foley and Ric Flair, and they switched wives. And it was very, I mean, I watched that one because Ric Flair is the king, and I will watch him do anything.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. But, yeah, I always felt so bad for the husbands. Get left behind with the kids and everything, and the awkward new wife comes in. It was just a train wreck.
It was.
Happened.
Yeah, it was. It was crazy. It was crazy.
All right. That's all I got for you, Nick. Thank
all right,
you,
buddy. Have a good morning. There you go. Right.
Roddy Piper.
Oh, it was Piper. Okay, see, that's why I watched it. Come on, man. I'm not going to watch Celebrity Wife Swap with Piper and Flair. Are you kidding me? All right. Let's see. 312 area code. Wait, I'm sorry. 608 area code says Property Brothers. Now, those are the two dudes. Are they twins, Dan, the Property Brothers?
What? Yes, they are.
That's what I thought. Like, one guy's a jerk and one guy isn't? Is that the...
No, they're one's a real estate guy. And,
I'm sorry. I was thinking good twin, evil twin.
Yes. easily confused.
All right. Listen, Mary is in the traffic hut. Hey, Mary.
I think she's talking to Vic.
Oh, she's talking
to Vic?
She's
catching up on the... The big Cumberland Overpass opening.
Oh, yeah, that's big news. Big news. So I want to get the details on this question about Dancing with the Stars. Okay, well, I'll try and get a hold of her in a second here. Trucker Rich says, the issue with Extreme Home Makeover was that 90% of the people they built homes for filed bankruptcy, and lost the homes due to taxes and other things. Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. Yeah, I still really enjoyed that show. 773 area codes. Bridezilla, America's Top Model, and Hoarders. Oh, Hoarders was good. Hoarders was a good show. Dan, you ever watch Hoarders?
I couldn't. It lasted like 10 minutes, and I had to shut it off. The
thing about Hoarders was it made me feel good about my apartment. Like, I'd watch Hoarders, and I'm like, well, place isn't that bad. I had one of the doctors on, one of the psychologists who were on Hoarders when I first started watching Hoarders because I was fascinated by it. She was a really great guest. I can't remember her name. She was the blonde, curly-haired doctor who was featured. Because I think there were like four of the doctors that were featured on that show. She was a great guest. But you just couldn't wait. I can understand why people wouldn't want to watch the show. Not the most pleasant thing in the world to look at. And the people are sad. A lot of it's really, really sad to watch. Is Mary there now? Mary, are you there?
Good morning.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Now, I know, Mary, that you watch the Dancing with the Stars.
I do. I'm a reality crazy person, except for the chef shows. I don't watch any cooking shows whatsoever.
Why? Why is that?
I hate to cook.
Oh, okay.
Well, I like to bake, but I don't know. I just don't get into them at all.
Oh, okay.
But I watched Dancing with the Stars.
Okay, well, wait, before that, because we've been talking about reality shows here for a while. What are some of the other ones besides, because I have specific questions about Dancing with the Stars for this season. But what are some of the other ones that you like?
Survivor, I've watched every single season since day one.
Starts again Monday or next week.
I know. I had to look it up because I have it set to tape and everything, but it's always called something different every time, so it doesn't tape it.
David versus Goliath this time.
That's right. So this will be a good one.
You don't watch Big Brother?
No.
Oh.
I watch Idol. I watched the basic ones.
Yeah, you know, watch America's Got Talent?
Yes, I did. I was a little disappointed last night.
Because that was the finale, right?
It was the finale, and all 10 acts were phenomenal. I don't like it when magicians or comedians, no offense, win. I don't know. Magicians and comedians are like, you know, the Zucara or Zucaru or whatever. There was a huge act of like 100 people, and they were phenomenal acrobats.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have won.
Oh, okay.
So
you were disappointed with the finale?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
The guy who won was very, very talented, but anyway.
Now, I don't watch Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, it's kind of getting old.
Yeah, and I don't watch it. I've tried, because I, like you, Mary, I enjoy reality television. Like, I'm completely obsessed with Big Brother, and the big finale is Wednesday, right after the premiere of Survivor.
You should talk to Wendy. She's a huge Big Brother.
Wendy's, you know what? She posts on my Facebook when I post, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She and her husband both post on my Facebook, because I post some stuff about Big Brother when I'm on. But I watch it, and I love that show, but I just can't get into Dancing with the Stars. So earlier, we were talking about this lineup that's going to start on Monday.
It's the worst.
Because I didn't recognize
anyone.
I mean,
Mary Lou Retton.
Mary Lou Retton, I knew...
who my son does not know. He's like, Mary Lou, who's that?
Oh, my God.
My son's 22. No clue who Mary Lou Retton is.
I knew John Schneider. I knew Nancy McKeon.
Yes.
DeMarcus Ware.
Football player,
yeah.
Yes.
And I didn't...
Always a football player.
I didn't know her by name, Evanna Lynch, but she plays...
Who?
Evanna Lynch. She plays Luna Lovegood in the Harry Potter movie. So I knew her. I didn't know her. I didn't know her real name, but she plays Luna Lovegood.
Oh, is that the real pale one?
Yeah, she's the weirdo kid, like the weirdo girl. She's like the weirdo girl, blonde hair.
Yes. Okay.
She's 27 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And so now I wanted to ask you about. There's a person that I love that's on the show, and I'm actually going to watch it because she's on it, and her name is Nikki Glaser. She's a stand-up comedian. And I love her. And she is very, very attractive and very, very, very funny. And I was telling this earlier, Mary, she was on Patty's show one time.
Oh, I know who she is.
And now. I texted Patty and I said, can I please come downstairs and meet her? And I'm never like that.
She's beautiful.
Oh, my God. And she's so funny. And she was really cool. I met her. Patty said, yeah, sure, come down. So I went down and I met her. And and when I found out that she was going to be on Dancing with the Stars, I was like, well, now I might have to watch this. Now, but here's the question I have for you.
Comedians never win, by the way.
Oh. All right.
Neither do models.
Okay. All right.
Comedians and models are the worst.
All right. Well, she's partnered with Gleb Savchenko.
I love Gleb.
All right. So he's good.
Savchenko. Oh, he's awesome.
Okay.
I don't think he's ever won, but he's fairly new. I mean, I think he's been on like maybe 3 or 4 seasons.
So she's got a good partner.
She's got an excellent partner. He's hot. I mean, he's really good.
Okay.
Those two will look really good together.
I would imagine they will if this gets, because Nikki Glaser, I mean, and you know, another reason why I want to watch is because I know the outfits that they put the ladies in.
Ooh, yeah.
And so Nikki Glaser, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. What was she in her 30s?
34.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Gleb, so he's good.
Gleb is good. Now, can she dance? Is there anything?
I've never seen her dance. I mean, I've seen her just do stand-up and do comedy. That's the only thing I've ever seen.
This will be good. Yeah, there's quite a bizarre cast.
Now, who are the good partners? Now, you said Gleb is good. Who's the best? Because you got...
Well...
I'll go through them. Jenna Johnson?
Jenna is new. This is only her second year.
Okay.
She's good.
Okay.
Yeah, well, they're all good.
Sure.
But the ones, let me see.
How about Sharna?
Sharna is phenomenal. She's an excellent choreographer.
Okay. Cheryl?
Is she with Bobby Bones?
She's with Bobby Bones.
Oh, okay.
Cheryl Burke?
Cheryl Burke. She was with the original season, and then she left, she came back, and she's back again. She's great, too.
Okay. Keo?
Keo has never won. Keo is really good, but he's really, really fast to me. Everything he does is just super, super fast. He's just like...
He
can never really slow his steps down.
What about Whitney?
Well, Whitney's real good, too.
Okay.
Whitney is very, how should I say it, blonde.
Uh-huh.
When they ask Whitney's questions...
Oh, boy.
Whitney's kind of, yeah, but she's a really good choreographer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How about Val?
Oh, Val Chernenko.
Yeah.
No, Shmurkowski.
Yeah.
Val and his brother Max were the original. Well, Max was in the original, and Max probably isn't in the show this year, but Val Shmurkowski is awesome. He's with Nancy McKeown. And I believe Val is engaged to one of the other dancers.
Oh,
Jenna. I think Jenna.
Oh, okay.
Not Paz, but right. I think.
What about Alan Burstyn?
Alan, he's okay. Fairly new.
Well, that's not going to work out because he's with a model. So you're already...
Oh, he'll be gone. Yeah. Keo and Alan, they always put with people who are going to be gone right away. And I feel bad for Keo because Keo should, you know, get in the top three for one time.
Mary Lou Retton has Sasha.
Oh, Sasha's good.
Okay.
Yeah, he's kind of conservative. He's good, though.
John Schneider has Emma Slater.
Emma's awesome. She's won a couple times.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about Brandon?
Who?
Brandon Armstrong.
Never heard of him.
Okay, well, I guess he's new.
He's new. Who's with Grocery Store Joe?
Grocery Store Joe.
I think he's with Jenna.
Hold on. Where is he? Joe. He's with Jenna. Yeah.
Do you know who Grocery Store Joe is?
No, because I don't watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Right. Oh, that's another one I watch. So anyway, he's from Chicago. I forgot about that one. He's from Chicago.
Okay.
And he, you know, works at a grocery store. I can't remember. You know, off a mom and pop family run thing. And he's super, super cute.
Okay. All right. And people were really upset when he got cut early on.
And he didn't do well in Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh.
He made it to the end with his girlfriend. They broke up. And now I guess they're back together, but I don't know.
Okay. And then Artem?
Artem's good, too.
Okay. Yeah. And then finally, Lindsay.
Oh, yeah, Lindsay Arnold.
She gets the NFL dude.
She always gets the athletes.
Oh, okay.
Lindsay does, and Lindsay is very tall and thin and leggy. She is extremely leggy, but she is super good.
All right, so I guess my girl Nikki's got a good partner, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said.
She's a comedian.
Yeah, okay. But if she can dance, I've never seen a comedian that can dance yet.
Okay. So. Well, we'll see. All right, Mary, thank you for the insight.
No problem.
I appreciate it.
This is my thing.
There you go. Mary Vandeveld is an expert in all reality shows, especially Dancing with the Stars. All right, let's take a break. We got weather here, and then we'll come back and wrap up the conversation here. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here on a Thursday morning. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell coming up in 8 minutes, and Steve Cochran with your morning drive at 6. And I'll be hanging out with Steve Cochran and the gang at about 6:20. So stay tuned for that. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We are talking about reality shows. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, let's wrap up the conversation. Got a ton of texts and a few people on the line. Let's go to limo driver Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you, Nick? How are you?
All right, what's up?
Hey, Reno 911. You got to admit, that's the cop shows up with the pink hot pants.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching.
Yeah, no, it's a fake reality show, but it's really funny. Reno 911 is a very funny show.
Couple years old, but yeah, it'll do.
Yep. Very cool. All right, thank you. Thanks, Zeev.
Have a nice day.
Later. You ever see the Reno 911 movie, Dan?
I did not.
It's really funny. And all of those people have gone on, you know, to do so much hilarious stuff on their own, you know, except for Nick Swardson, who's not funny. Swardson's actually pretty funny on Reno 911, but he's done nothing funny outside of that. He and Danny McBride ought to team up and do a movie called Unfunny. All right, let's see some more of these texts here. 708 area code says, Amazing Race is an interesting show. They send all these teams all over the world. I love Big Brother, but I'm not thrilled with JC. Neither am I, 708. 815 area code says, Naked and Afraid. 708 area code says, My friends and I have a viewing party every Thursday for the live evictions. In the beginning of the season, we have a pool to pick the winner. And that's talking about Big Brother. 708. I wonder hey, 708, who do you have in the pool? Did the person already get evicted? Well, that's a hard thing to do at the beginning of the season of Big Brother. Wow. Okay. 224 area code says, Beauty and the Geek. And Silent Library. I loved Silent Library. Dan, have you ever seen Silent Library?
I have seen it, yes.
Oh, my God. That show is hilarious. Hey, how about the King of the Nerds with Curtis Armstrong and Robert Carradine?
Oh, sure.
That was a great show. And when I talked with Curtis Armstrong last year, he wanted to bring it back, but they didn't. They said no.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah. Amish Mafia. What? Mary from Roselle says, all the housewife shows, Dallas, OC, Georgia, etc., rich people problems, and Mob Wives was funny. I loved Mob Wives. I don't watch the housewife shows, though. 815 area code, Amazing Race is amazing. I would love to be a contestant on that show. What drives me crazy is that contestants don't have any skills on how to read a map or how to drive a manual transmission. No, they don't, because you don't need to read a map or know how to drive stick anymore. You know what I mean? That's a skill that you don't need. Jim from Florida says, I like Nailed It on Netflix. Ordinary people baking fancy desserts. 815 area code says, a terrible reality show was The Swan. Oh, God. Where women would agree to have plastic surgery. That was such a terrible show. That was such a terrible show. They did a fantastic send-up on it on SNL years ago. You remember the character that Amy Poehler used to do where she had one leg and she farted?
No.
She was like, she's like a reality. She was always on reality shows like, you know, like, yeah, that's right. I farted. And then, like, she had one leg. it's Amy Poehler. Let's see. Fred Winston. Hey, Fred Winston, everybody. Fred Winston. Legendary Fred Winston. Thank you for listening, Fred. Says, Billy the Exterminator. It's the funniest thing where these punk rock guys go into a house and deal with snakes and cockroaches. He gets bitten constantly. That's fantastic. What channel is Billy the Exterminator on?
A&E.
A&E. All right. That's arts and entertainment for you right there. 608 area codes. Yeah, what are you going to say?
Oh, okay. I was laughing.
All right. 608 area codes. How about My Sweet 16 on MTV? I can't watch that show. Cannot watch that show. They get a $400K to $500K for their birthday party and $150K for their first car. And then 224 says the local is closed now.
All right.
Well, there you go. Reality show.
Why
shows.
Can't you watch My Sweet 16?
Because I can't. Like, the kids make me nuts. They make me nuts. These spoiled, rotten kids, they just make me nuts. These rich, spoiled, rotten. I don't know. I guess it's rich, spoiled, rotten people make me nuts. That's why I can't watch Ferris Bueller. I couldn't watch Paris Hilton making fun of working class people. I don't know. It just makes me crazy. And it's these 16-year-old kids who have no respect for their parents at all. No, I can't watch it. I can't. I can't do it. So, but I can watch Orders. I'm a weirdo. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back and let you know what's coming up on the show tomorrow. And Steve Grzanich with the opening bell after that.